Last night's presidential debate sparked more social media exchanges than any previous political event. A total of 12.24 million comments during the 90-minute debate were posted on Facebook and Twitter. As social media gains a prominent role in presidential politics, it democratizes reactions and opinions, and it begins to usurp the role of spin doctors. WBAI's Linda Perry spoke with Andrew Ruscha, founder of Personal Democracy Media, an organization that tracks the intersection of technology and politics.
Political opinion is formed by people talking to each other, and traditionally they do it around a dining table, around a water cooler in the office, at a VHW hall, in a bar, at a market, and people share their opinions, their prejudices, their aspirations, their hopes, and eventually a consensus is formed and people go to the polls. And that still happens in our modern era, but now because of social media, many of those conversations are on steroids, and they're happening in real time.
So now when you watch a debate, you're not really watching it by yourself or with your family, are you? If you're on Twitter, you're watching it with all of your followers, and people who follow you are watching it with you.
Of course, and so you can watch with the people in the room or the people who are in their living rooms in real time who are connected through your social networks. And it's an extremely powerful shift in the political media ecology, because in the previous era, the amount of information was very scarce, and the ability to even fact check what a political candidate was saying was always often delayed by several days, if not hours. Well, now people are fact checking, sharing links, making comments, and pointing out specifics faster and in many cases better than the news organizations that are covering these events.
And doesn't it also speak to our multitasking culture?
Sure. So we are all living in a hyper-connected world, and yes, there are obviously big issues and challenges as to how to make sense of all this information. We have way too much information sometimes, or maybe I should say that we don't have enough good filters. We also need to remember that this technology is brand new and that we're still learning how to use it. And, you know, Twitter wasn't really even, you know, here 6 or 7 years ago. YouTube basically didn't exist 7 years ago. So certainly Facebook didn't exist 7 years ago. So we are in a new paradigm, and individual people, depending upon their age, their comfort level with technology, will interact with this technology and use it in different ways. So it's important to remember that not everyone is using social media, but people who are using it are able to have a great influence on the entire political landscape.
So let's give an example of how people of different ages are using it. So last night, Romney decided that he wanted a binder full of women. What happened after that?
So as soon as he made that comment, it became a hashtag on Twitter. You could just search binder and you would see every single tweet by every single person who included the word binder in their tweet.
What did you notice in terms of the demeanor of the two candidates last night on social media? Did you notice a lot of tweets and posts about their demeanor?
Oh, sure. There was, you know, Obama looks great. There was a lot of tweets that were good question, bad question. Everything that we witnessed there on television was dissected, amplified, magnified, and in many cases shared by hundreds of thousands of people, if not millions of people, simultaneously.
Even the camera angles that were taken and the split screen.
Sure, and even criticism of Katie Crowley or criticisms of the questions from the audience.
So speaking of her and that Libya question, what happened there, and what did you see on social media after it?
Well, obviously there was a dust-up between Romney and Obama, and it was pretty clear that Romney didn't actually know what the president had said in the Oval Office. So as soon as that happened and Katie Crowley corrected him, the entire social media reacted and said, you know, Romney got smacked by Katie Crowley. On the other hand, if you're a conservative, who saw that happening, you know, their social media lit up that they missed that she missed the point that she gave the president a pass
and had no right really to act that way.
Exactly. So people will see what they want to see.
Did you feel that the questions that came from the audience at Hofstra last night were more akin to discussions on social media?
Yes and no. I mean, unfortunately, the debate commission still has not yet figured out how to integrate social media properly into debates, and so I'm sure there were. You know, Katie Crowley at one point did say something about the gun control question. That was something that she said was being heard a great deal on social media.
Because there are many people talking about pay equity. There's people talking about Bain and Bain's involvement in companies.
Sure, but if the mainstream media doesn't want, you know, the mainstream media still filters all this stuff, and mm-hmm. so they're going to talk about what they want to talk about. So it's up to citizens to fight for more attention and to try to get mainstream media, the candidates, to pay attention to the public. This technology offers an opportunity for far more engagement than we're seeing. You know, it's great that so many people are tweeting. It's great that everybody's watching this stuff in real time. But until the political system itself recognizes that this is a platform, or social media is a platform that allows for true, authentic engagement between citizens and their candidates, we're still going to be suffering through these kinds of disconnects between mainstream media, candidates on stage, and the people at home who are tweeting far faster and know more about what's going on than the candidates themselves.
Andrew Ruscha is the founder of Personal Democracy Media. He spoke with WBAI's Linda Perry.